everyone. This is Drew Allen, your Millennial Minister of Truth. Look, I just want to spend this episode 30 minutes or so. I think these are the most useful things I can do for you, for my audience, is to really get in depth on very specific issues because the drive-bys do their hit job. They pump out a lot of shallow information that's emotional, and then they move on. And nobody ever gets a chance to actually understand or delve into or really comprehend anything below surface level. And so I just want to talk about the abortion issue. So this 30 minutes, you will become experts in the abortion issue going on in the country right now, and especially with regard to Arizona. So I just want to tackle that with you right now, okay? Because what we're experiencing is this nonsensical, just over-emotional reaction. Of course, that's what both sides want. That's especially what the left wants because abortion is their Hail Mary. That's what they are hoping to turn into an issue in 2024 because one of the issues they're going to face is that nobody's going to show up to vote for Joe Biden. So they need voter turnout, and the way they believe they can get voter turnout and achieve that is to pump up abortion and get people to go to the polls. So they want these abortion issues on the ballot box in some way in November, in the fall, because they think that, look, no one's going to come on their own to support Joe Biden and vote for Democrats in the 2024 election, given what's going on in the country, the open border, inflation, national security, and on and on and on. So we need to put abortion on there so they have a reason to show up. That's kind of what's going on. And of course, Republicans that actually are members of the deep state that actually want to help Democrats, they're going to try and help facilitate that across the country. Just wait and see. You heard it here. But if you have just been listening to the media, as I have a little bit, I couldn't understand anything about what's going on. We know what the talking point from the left is regarding Arizona and the Supreme Court there. It's that, of course, you know, Republicans want to take us back to 1864. Republicans want to take us back to 1864. That's the coordinated talking point by the left. Everyone's saying it in the left-wing media and so on and so forth. Now, what does that even mean? What are they even talking about? Now, what happened in Arizona is that in anticipation of Roe v. Wade being overturned in 2022 by the Supreme Court, the Arizona legislature passed a law that established a 15-week abortion ban. And by the way, all these Democrats trying to make 15-week abortion bans like it's the end of the world, an attack on women's rights, and so on and so forth, it's so absurd. It's so absurd because even in Arizona in 2021, right, when Roe v. Wade was still in place, 94% of the nearly 14,000 abortions that were provided in the state of Arizona, they were performed at or before 15 weeks. So there were 1.6% of abortions obtained after 20 weeks. So this is ridiculous that 15 weeks is oppressive. And this is the thing. I mean, I'll get into my personal positions as a Christian and everything else. I am pro-life in a little bit after I get through some of this important information to give you just facts that are imperative for all of us to understand together. You know, the reality is the reason we can't really have some kind of agreements, the reason we can't quote-unquote reach across the aisle and compromise on the issue of abortion is actually because Democrats are determined to push it too far. They want infanticide. That's true. That's the reality. We already saw the House of Representatives, Republicans voted, I think unanimously, to pass a law that would require medical professionals to look, in a botched abortion in which the baby was actually viable, just like a human being, you would be required to try and save that child's life. And the Democrats voted unanimously, maybe one or two holdouts, against that. So they voted to make sure that the baby was killed, even if it survived an abortion. So I'm just saying, the left is so radical, the abortion camp is so radical, that this is why it becomes very hard to compromise on the issue, because they have no intention of compromising. Once you compromise, they go further. This is the issue. You're negotiating with terrorists, effectively, and that's the challenge with the abortion issue in America. Also, they've managed to take control of the narrative in many ways. But look, so you have to understand that in Arizona, this 1864, take us back to 1864, this 1864 abortion ban that they're talking about is not some law that has been put on the books by Republicans. This is a book that has been, this is a law that has been on the books in Arizona since 1864, since before Arizona was a state. So it is still on the books. Nobody voted to get rid of this law. It's there. So the point is, once Roe v. Wade was overturned in the Dobbs decision in 2022, this law was on the books. So therefore, it was active. Okay, does that make sense? I mean, a lot of this outrage has nothing to do with what it should. You know, once Roe v. Wade was overturned, well, if you had laws on the books previously, well, now those are permissible. Because what did the overturning of Roe v. Wade do? Well, it gave states the right to make their own abortion laws, which is constitutionally sound. Now, whether you are pro-life or pro-choice doesn't matter. You see, this is the problem in America. We need rational adults, responsible adults, to talk about things in a manner becoming of a stable, sane, rational society. And so that's the point. States have the right to determine their own abortion laws, and there's nothing controversial about that. It is constitutional. The Roe v. Wade decision, even left-wing support Supreme Court justices like even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, one of the idols of the left, well, she acknowledged even that it wasn't constitutional. You had a bunch of people that pointed out that it wasn't constitutional. There is no right to abortion in the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, the reality is, as uncomfortable as it is for Americans who don't like it when things get in the way of what they want, when reality interferes with their own desires and wants, that is a life. Life does begin at conception. I'm sorry, I mean, when else does it begin? That is when life begins. And obviously, like anything, I mean, it takes 9 months or so of gestation for that child to be ready to come out of the womb and enter this world, but that doesn't mean it's not a life. It is a life. Okay? So this law, this 1864 abortion ban, which by standards today is certainly very draconian, it effectively bans abortions outright without exceptions. So it's on the books. And so when Roe v. Wade is overturned, bada boom, bada bing, that law is still there. So it is active. Now, before the Roe v. Wade decision was made, rendering it obsolete, you also had the Arizona legislature pass a 15-week limit. So it actually is dueling. It's like a dueling law. So what do we do? The 15-week limit ban that's new or the one that's old? Now, the legislature could fix this. They just need to remove this law from the books if they want, and they're totally capable of doing that. And look, we find this in cases around the country. They're few and far between, and they don't often make the news. But there are plenty of, and I'm not even referencing this, but there are plenty of insane laws on the books. I mean, I don't remember the exact specifics, because I didn't plan on talking about it, but a year or two ago, the Supreme Court ruled that one of the laws that had been on the books that was restrictive in terms of firearm ownership in the state of New York, I don't know if that law went back to the early 1900s or if it was the late 1800s, but you had a law on the books that had been there for, I think it had been on the books for 100 years or a little more than 100 years. But suddenly the Supreme Court saw this, you know, a case was brought finally that brought this to the Supreme Court and to their attention, and they said that that was unconstitutional. But that law had been on the books for 100 years, And so an unconstitutional law was being used in the state of New York to prevent law-abiding American citizens from exercising their Second Amendment right with regards to concealed carry, effectively, is what it affected, for over 100 years. And the Supreme Court said, actually, that law that's on the books isn't even constitutional. That's kind of what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about here. So I'm just going to say this one more time for the people in the back of the room, okay? Very simply, 30 seconds or so. In Arizona, there was a law on the books that was never repealed that was from 1864 that pretty much banned abortions outright. Roe v. Wade was overturned. That law is still on the books. So the question is that law enforceable? And the answer has to be yes. Look, if you have laws on the books, they're on the books. Repeal it if you don't want it. So that's all we're talking about here. Now, the added complication, again, is that the legislature also passed a law. Probably they didn't even know about this 1864 ban, some of them. But anyway, anticipating the overturning of Roe v. Wade, then they also passed this law that put in place a 15-week limit. So now you're saying, okay, well, which law is it? Which one stands, the 15-week or the 1864 law that's on the books? Because both of them don't really work together. So you had the Supreme Court. Now, they've stayed this for about 14 days, but because what they want to do is allow the lower court to have a chance to examine this further and look at any other constitutional challenges and so on and so forth. But anyhow, as a publicist, you know, this is what's happened. I'm sitting here trying to get through, finally, talk to my beloved audience here, and I can't even get like 30 seconds of my life. You see, you're my family. So I can't get 30 seconds of my life free to get my thoughts and do my own podcast because the PR world is so insane and blowing up every 2 seconds of my life. Anyway, it's all good. I'm not that unhappy about it. I just really want to address the abortion issue, and I'm very tired of this being so time-consuming. Anyway, okay. So I think that makes sense there. Now, I want to get into a couple other things here. We'll get into the abortion stuff. As I said, I am pro-life. But here's where it gets really crazy and why you don't have adults in the room. Now, this isn't that crazy again. You've just got to deal with this law. That's not crazy. So get the legislature together and repeal the 1864 law and decide to put the 15-week back. That's all that is being asked here. So, you know, the media is hyping this up because they need abortion to be a big issue. But look, if a law is on the books, it is the responsibility of the attorney general and states and law enforcement to actually enforce that, right? So the attorney general, Chris Mays, who's a Democrat in Arizona, well, after the Supreme Court ruled more or less that, yes, the 1864 law is on the books, therefore it's enforceable, she said, let me be completely clear. As long as I am attorney general, no woman or doctor will be prosecuted under this draconian law in this state. Now, this is not the appropriate stance to take. The appropriate stance to take is, okay, you can argue that this is a draconian law, that you don't like it, that it's bad legislation. But then as the attorney general, you need to say, look, it's my obligation as the AG to enforce the laws on the books. I am going to be required by law, by my position, to enforce this unless you, the legislature, the state legislature, do not take action. I mean, this is the thing. So she's going rogue. She's saying, I don't like this law, so I'm not going to enforce it. Now, this isn't about whether you agree with the law or not. This isn't about whether you like the law or not. This is about respecting the rule of law. And this is what is destroying the country right now, is our lack of respect for the Constitution and the rule of law. You can't selectively enforce laws in this country. If you don't like a law, you have means of dealing with that. And this is the whole thing with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. The American people have a right to determine how they want to live, how their culture is going to look. You cannot force from the federal level things like this on the American people. And so any Republican, by the way, who's out there promoting a federal ban on abortion from Congress, you are either trying to hand the Democrats a victory and sabotage the Republicans, or you're a fool. Now, I, as someone who am pro-life, is of the position that, look, I know that I'm a Christian. I know that that unborn child is precious, that it's a life. But I want to live in a society in which we have the ability to make our own laws. And not everyone in this country agrees with me. And so I get it. People want the easy solution. They just want everyone to agree with us. But the problem, the reason we're in this position anyway, is because Christians have done a pathetic job of evangelizing, of going out and making the case, really. We've allowed the Democrats to make this a women's rights issue, for example, and so on and so forth. And so, look, I don't agree with abortion, personally, except perhaps in instances of rape and incest and so on and so forth. But we live in a country in which people have the ability, if they want, they can vote in California for infanticide. I think it's despicable. I think it's disgusting, but they can. But conversely, I can also vote to ban abortion outright with no exceptions if I want. This is just the cost of liberty. And I'd much rather have that than not have options, not have the ability to go out and change things. And so this is all we're talking about. And I understand, you know, Republicans are absolutely fearful right now of the abortion issue. And we have allowed Democrats in many ways to take this issue away from us. And the abortion issue is largely manufactured. It really is largely manufactured because it's just emotional. It's just totally emotional. And I get it. I mean, as a religious person, yeah, I am emotional about it in many ways, but we also have to pull back and we have to be rational as we approach this thing as well, because we play into the left's hand too often. And the reality is, it's a combination of laziness and kind of fatalism, being defeatist, where we think that, oh, it's too late, woe is me, we can't win this issue. I mean, you have to go back in history with the abortion issue, and obviously before Roe v. Wade, you know, abortion was not legal, viewed as a right, obviously, by women. We didn't have this type of conversation. It wasn't this big deal in the country, and it's, of course, morphed into that over time. And, of course, the Democrat position not that long ago, within people's lifetime today, is that their stance on abortion was it should be safe, legal, and rare. That is not the Democrat position on abortion today. I mean, safe, legal, and rare. Now they want it up until birth, and they want it taxpayer-funded. The more abortions, the better. And this is my big problem with the abortion issue from kind of a macro level, from outer space looking down on it. It is that we encourage abortion. It is that we celebrate abortion as a culture. And this is the death cult component. Now, I know people who have had abortions, and I am not sitting here saying they're horrible people. I'm not doing anything like that. But the people I know that have had abortions, they aren't the ones out there in the streets cheering for them, taking a bunch of pills on camera. You know, they made the decision. Many of them regret the decision even. And I understand the mindset of women who make that decision. Now, But what we're looking at in America is people who think that abortion is wonderful. They are out there proudly saying, I had my abortion. I mean, come on. I mean, I think that anyone who has a child or is a parent, I mean, look at your child. I mean, ask yourself, you know, I mean, Reagan, go back to Reagan in that room. And he said, you know, I notice everyone here who's in support of abortion is alive. So, you know, you're just dealing with a lot of radical people with regard to this. But what is the long game? Democrats are willing to play the long game here, and we need to be willing to do the same thing to persuade people. And Democrats have manipulated women and Americans over this issue for a long time. Now, for example, now something that is totally unfair, and this would be a game changer if we would pursue this. You know, they've made this a women's issue. My body, my choice. Now, that's not true. There is a man involved in the creation of a child. Just because the woman is the one who becomes pregnant, that's absolutely wrong to suggest that the potential father has no say in the matter. But I understand to the extent that we have created a society in which men are not held responsible. It has become a women's issue because men don't face any repercussions. It is all on the woman, and that is absolutely unfair. One of the things we should be doing is penalizing the irresponsible men. One of the things we should be doing, for example, is requiring men who get women pregnant to have to pay, to face a financial burden, if you will, to support that woman. If they want to run off and so on and so forth. These are things that would be game changers in society. And then we would begin to have a conversation, not about this being a women's rights issue. We could start to have a conversation about the value of the life of the unborn. Because you couldn't say this is a women's issue anymore because the man is going to be held responsible too. And so we've been looking at this all wrong. And we played into this and allowed this truth, it's become a truth that it is a women's health issue. It is a women's rights issue because the man has no part in this if they don't want. It's the woman who has to deal with this abortion on her own. The pressure is on her. And so we could do things in society at a federal level to push things towards celebrating life, having fewer abortions. You don't have to, you know, have an 1864 law, for example. You could create a society, and this is the way that's healthier to do it, even if it's harder, is to create a society in which people agree with us, in which they agree with us. So, you know, abortion is an effect, I guess. It's not the root cause. Irresponsibility, ignorance, men having no responsibility, not being held accountable for their actions, these are the things that lead to what's happening in this abortion conversation today. And I don't want to just sit here and make points and argue. I want to actually win. And the way to win is to do these things. So look, you could pass legislation in Congress at a national level or in states, I guess, that would obviously offer financial incentives and help to people who would see that that child is born as opposed to having an abortion. You could give these women an option. You could make them feel like it isn't hopeless. You could help them feel like it's not a curse. So it's education, and it takes time because we've been asleep at the wheel. But they do this with everything. You know, my body, my choice, with gay marriage. It's about the right to love. Really? I mean, you can love anybody. I mean, why don't we allow in society, for example, 50-year-olds to marry 12-year-olds if they love each other. You see, this is what I'm talking about, whether it's abortion, gay marriage. All of these things are not in the Constitution. These are things that we get to determine as a society that reflect us and our values. And the fact that we feel like we're on the losing end of abortion right now, that 15 weeks is too extreme, for example, and we can't even defend that, well, that's a reflection on us because we've allowed basically Judeo-Christian values to be erased from American society. But I want to kind of close with this. I mean, look, there's more to say about abortion all the time. I get it, you know, but I really wanted you to understand mainly what was going on in Arizona because nobody was making it clear. But I just want you to remember something. As Democrats try to make abortion the single issue in the election coming up, as they always do. Now, they claim that Republicans want to take us back to 1864. But Democrats want to take us back to pre-1776. They're the ones who really want to take us back to a dark age. Democrats are the ones who claim there are more than two genders. Democrats are the ones that teach classes to our children in public schools about choosing their pronouns. It's Democrats that believe it's the right of a 10-year-old boy or girl to make their own medical decisions in terms of cutting off, mutilating their genitalia. It's Democrats who support this torture, this dismemberment, this permanent hormonal damage, and they call it gender-affirming care. Because, of course, nothing says gender-affirming more than denying your gender and pretending to be the opposite sex. Amen? Democrats are the ones who want an open border. They want to replace American citizens with third world imports who will support them instead. Democrats believe that racism is in your DNA or my DNA or our children's DNA. They're the ones who believe that the solar eclipse, that hurricanes, that these are caused by man. Democrats believe that communism and Marxism, despite being responsible for the most massive bloodshed and poverty in world history, they believe that these failed ideologies and systems are superior to capitalism. Democrats believe we should live in a world in which men should compete, must compete, have the right to compete against women in women's sports. A world in which light bulbs and gas-powered cars and gas stoves have to be banned, where they can tell us instead that we should use this unreliable, ridiculous green energy that doesn't work instead. In the name of man-made climate change, Democrats believe in and purport and push the greatest Marxist hoax ever perpetrated on mankind. That is climate change. Democrats want to take America back to before 1776. So they can say what they want all day long about 18, whatever, 64 it was. But remember, it's Democrats who really are bringing about a new dark age in America. And I wrote about this extensively in my book, America's Last Stand, Will You Vote to Save or Destroy America in 2024? Now, one day I'll have to do an episode just riffing off of when I went off for 10 seconds there about the life of a publicist. You don't want to be me. Let me just tell you that. You do not want to be me. You don't want my job. You don't want my job. As much as I like it, you don't want it. You don't want it. It's nuts. It's nuts. But look, I hope that gets you caught up on a few things. I feel like these are the important things. I don't know. There's so many 60-minute podcasts out there, and I don't have the time right now to do it, to be honest. And I feel like this is more beneficial. And, you know, if you feel like this is beneficial too, I mean, do me a favor. We've had a lot more listeners come in too. We keep growing. It does help a lot, honestly. And I would appreciate it if you would, whether you listen on Spotify or Apple, wherever you listen, give the show a 5 stars. Give it a review too, if you want. Occasionally what happens is this podcast pops on the left and they will go in and give me 1 star and they'll try and intentionally, you know, bring the ratings down. And you'll see it if you go on the podcast. So anyway, look, hope that clears up a few things for you and gives you some insight. You know, this is an issue I'll address more in my writing on my Substack, drealland.substack.com. I plan to do more with this. But there's a lot to get into. I want to try and get into the inflation and some of these things in future episodes too, but I want to keep it at around 30 minutes so that you can listen to this on a drive. You know, people have 30 minutes, you may not have 60 minutes. So that's kind of my thought process right now, especially given my just reduction in free time, given all the things I've taken on, the congressional campaigns that I'm doing PR for, Tulsi Gabbard, and I mean, it's just, it's crazy, folks. It's really good stuff, but it's just got me a little bit limited in time. But I really appreciate you. I'm sorry it's been so long. God bless you all, and until next time.